Thank you. So I have a question from Bhakti Eva, and she's asking about the function of the mind, the intelligence in the subtle body, how this connects to the spirit soul. And it's a very interesting, very important question, which is dealt with in quite detail in Srimad Bhagavatam in several places. Narada Muni deals with it at quite depth, and I actually recommend that devotees make a study of this, because we're in this body with this mind, with this intelligence, and the problem is that in order to free ourselves from bondage, we need to know what it is that we're bound by and how is it that we're bound. So all of these things are extremely helpful, therefore, for our progress. Now, if we consider Krishna's statement, Krishna says, Bhumira panalovayu kammanora buddhireva cha ahankara ityani bina praktitirashtira aparyamitastanyam prakriti vidime param. And elsewhere he says, Indriyani parani ahur indirya paramana manasasto puro buddhir yo buddhi parasastu sa. So there is the gross senses, there is the mind, and above the mind is the intelligence. This means that in terms of actual function and strength, this is the hierarchy. And of course, yogudhi parasastusa, and above the intelligence is the soul. These are all instruments or faculties of the soul itself, which is para. Aparyamitasthanyam prakriti vidime param, which is para prakriti, and this is apara prakriti. So let's start at the beginning. In the spiritual world, one has a spiritual body, and that spiritual body is made of spiritual senses. It has a mind, it has an intelligence. And that is who we are, that is what we are. And the living entity is full of desire. He's full of desires to serve Krishna. So consider that we are in a beautiful garden, Radhapad, Ishokhyan, with all kinds of flowers in bloom, and we've been instructed to make a garland for Krishna, a Vaijayanti garland, which requires five colors. So we have the intelligence. We've been taught what is the combination of flowers, what is the combination of colors, and just how long it should be, how it should be strung, how tight it should be, and so on and so on. The intelligence knows what to do, and the mind, the spiritual mind, will select. Now, should it be this one? Should it be that flower? Neti, on the basis of the knowledge that it has, it selects proper flowers. And of course, it's not the mind that selects the flowers, but it's the senses. So the mind will direct the hands, the arms, and so on. Just a minute, I have a doctor coming in. Who now, where was I? Dr. Tanuja was just in here inquiring after me. Anyway, spiritual, the living entity, the spirit soul, thus makes a Vaijayanti garland based on based on the desire to do so, and aided by the mind, intelligence, and his spiritual senses. Oh yes, that's what I was. All the walk to the garden and so on. So the senses are being directed by the rather than mine. Now, somehow or another, we have become Krishna Bahim Kahunabu Gavan Chakari. We have become inimical to Krishna. How foolish we were. And now we are here in this material world. By that, we have embraced material energy. Material energy means this concept that I'm independent from Krishna. And therefore, our spiritual identity, our swarup, or more exactly, our abhiman, which is our stai bhava, that I am a cowherd boy, I'm a gopi, I'm something else, that has now become covered. And this is what Krishna says, ahankara, ahankara. This is the false designation where one thinks I'm the doer rather than I'm just Krishna's servant and Krishna's telling me what to do, and therefore now we're thinking, oh, I'm the doer. Ahankara ityame bina prakriti rashtada. So I think that I'm the doer, and thinking that I'm the doer, now I become educated. I get so much knowledge, so much information of this material world, how to fulfill my exploding desires. My desires are exploding to be a enjoyer, to explore all the enjoyment that this body has to offer, my home, my family, my friends, my country, so many other things, my mobile phone, all of these things. And in order to fulfill these desires, therefore now as my soul has become contaminated, my identity has become contaminated automatically, then all of the instruments of that identity, the intelligence, the mind, it has also become covered. It has also become contaminated. And so we've become contaminated. And so, all right, let's go back to the flower garland example. Then now I'm in a garden and I'm picking flowers for a vase. Oh, yes. I know how to pick flowers. I know what flowers are in bloom. I have this knowledge, and I'm making. I know what my wife or my husband, what their favorite flowers are, and I'm going to make a beautiful vase in the living room to put on the newly purchased dining table, because I know that that will really please him. And so, with this knowledge, which my intelligence has, and direction, then I choose this flower and that flower. And in this way, I have a nice vase, which I employ my material senses, and in that way, ultimately, I'm able to fulfill my material desire. However, not only have I just fulfilled my material desire and performed a material activity, but that has a consequence. The consequence of that material activity are other types of reactions. Reactions are that our material desires swell, the number of desires that we have increase, and these burden the mind and the intelligence, and we also get consequent reactions, some of which we obviously want to avoid. By that I mean the bad ones, where we want to avoid all the bad reactions, all the sinful reactions. And so we engage sometimes in very bad activities. We use our mind and our intelligence in order to try to realize those. And this way we become implicated. So what happens is, because the desires are become almost endless and are increasing more and more, and the mind is always trying to fulfill those desires, it becomes very, very strong. So strong that it bewilders the intelligence. It's taking or robbing information from the intelligence, how to try to fulfill this desire and that desire, and the intelligence, having been covered and forgetting his original identity, now then becomes a slave of the mind. And all of the knowledge or information that the mind has becomes at the disposal of the mind for fulfilling material desires. And in this way, material life becomes perpetuated, and the reaction to material activities means that the mind just becomes stronger and stronger and stronger, and one becomes further entangled. I'm sorry, I got a little distracted here in trying to say this with Srimati Radharani's little garland. I'm the one who got entangled just now. By karmic reaction, therefore, desires are increasing. A false ego becomes more and more entrenched, and we become more and more bound and bewildered. The only hope is that one does come in contact with the truth. And once again, the intelligence awakens to the fact that no, I'm not this body. And a desire arises that knowing that I'm spirit, soul, and Krishna's eternal servant, I want to return back to him. And grabbing a hold of this knowledge, therefore, the intelligence can start to direct the mind, and therefore the mind, the senses again. No, now I don't want to do all kinds of selfish activities. I want to perform activities to serve Krishna or to please Krishna. And that is why the study of transcendental knowledge is so important, because it feeds the intelligence. The intelligence, once again, can take possession or control of the mind and the senses and direct it back home, back to Krishna. As the intelligence therefore becomes stronger and stronger, and the mind becomes more submissive to intelligence, by devotional activities, material desires become dissolved. The heart becomes purified, and as the desire once again to serve Krishna becomes stronger, and ultimately all other desires disappear, the mind gradually, as Krishna says, becomes a friend. And when by fenceless devotional service, one's identity again resumes. Yes, I'm Krishna's servant, and that's all I want to be. Then the mind can be trusted, and the mind now only has devotional desires to fulfill, and therefore the intelligence, mind, and senses are all in line with reassuming our original spiritual identity, which then, when the heart becomes pure, one naturally takes place, when one reassumes one's sthayi bhava, one's original spiritual identity, and one's spiritual mind, intelligence, and form naturally come as a consequence of that. As Srimad Bhagavatam states, therefore, the subtle body becomes dissolved by the process of devotional service. In other words, the ahankar, the false ego, becomes removed. And in this way, we go back to our original spiritual forms, mind and intelligence, in the service of the Lord. Hare Krishna.